I think the first thing to see here is that David is in rejection. He's hunted like a partridge on the mountains, you know. He's in the wilderness, Saul's after him. But at this point, he is the rejected one. At a later juncture, he'll be anointed king, and he'll come into his glory and be established as king. And that approximates to the position of Christ at this present time. The Christ is still rejected and by the world disowned. And we have to take that into consideration, that he has been refused in this scene. And if we are going to be faithful to him, it's necessary to follow him in this pathway of rejection. And this was something, according to the note, that Jonathan missed out on, and others entered into the feelings of Christ and identified with him in the wilderness and shared his reproach. And that's a pathway that is pleasing to the Lord at this present time.
There is a there's a reality here that David and his rejection becomes an attraction, but his attraction is to only those that are willing to identify with his rejection. This is significant. And when they are with David, they are together with him, they are going to enjoy collectively a unique form of fellowship, because they're accepting the position that they're identifying themselves with a rejected Christ. But they realize they're not just one person, but it's a group that ends there. Not to say that this is the description of this group is something that the world would be interested in, as we read in verse 2. But the Lord is interested in. The Lord wants to see the heart response on the part of his own. And it required faith to identify themselves with David, because they would be at the same risk that David was experiencing. They were seeking David's life and anyone who would identify with him. This is what caused Peter to shrink back when the Lord was arrested. He feared identification with Christ because he feared death. And this is what these men faced when they identified themselves with rejected Christ. We read in 2 Timothy 2, we have this seal. Let anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And then the second part of the seal, the Lord knows those that are his. But there is this departure from the iniquity, and then there's the attraction to Christ. And so these that followed David in the wilderness there in that cave, they had to turn away from what Saul represented, what Jonathan missed out on. They had to turn from that, and then they had to follow David. So, but they enjoyed wonderful fellowship, and I think this is this is one of the blessings we gain that Jonathan missed. He missed it. But there is unique, wonderful fellowship to be among those that will accept that position with the rejected David. And we can have this experience ourselves right now, in our generation, in our day. It's not popular, but yet it's wonderful.
I think it's already been mentioned that now is the time that we have the privilege to share in the sufferings that were those of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's true. And I just don't want to just repeat that statement, but I just want to emphasize that they are the same sufferings that the Lord Jesus went through, We are, in a sense, lifted up to the same position as him, in that we go through the exact same things that he went through. And the way that they're described in the Word of God is as the sufferings of Christ himself. One example of that, admittedly, this is Paul talking, I think, specifically about himself, but in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, he refers to the tribulations of Christ in my flesh. And they were things that Paul was experiencing, but he describes them as tribulations of Christ himself. It truly is a privilege that we experience these same things that the Lord Jesus did. But it's perhaps also, or perhaps there's also a measure of responsibility in it, because the Lord Jesus gets something now as we identify ourselves with him, that he doesn't get in the glory when we will be absolutely identified with him. You know, if we were to think of those who rejoiced when David was anointed or when Solomon was anointed, I mean, certainly they are wonderful things to see in the scriptures. When the Lord Jesus reigns on this earth and we reign with him, and that is absolutely a wonderful time. But I think there's something, I don't want to say necessarily something better, but certainly something unique about this time, something that we can give to the Lord Jesus as we identify ourselves with him.
Paul wrote in to the Philippians, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, right? And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And Peter, in his first epistle, he wrote something similar. For 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. So suffering is a part of the Christian experience and the Christian walk. We know that if we suffer now with him, we will also reign with him. The suffering and the reigning are connected. And it is not something, as I said earlier, it's not something popular. If you spoke these truths to a crowd, very few would stay and say, that's for me. But it requires faith to make that step and say, I'm going to follow the Lord in his rejection.
If you look at a few verses in 1 Peter chapter 4, in regards to suffering and reproach for the name of the Lord Jesus, in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which you try, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory of the glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator.